Pacifico, Modern Puff, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I've just seen confirmation in the news. Of something I must have mentioned to you. It's about 3 weeks old, 2 weeks old, the information that I had. I must have mentioned it to you because I got it straight from the horse's mouth, and I say that with all due respect, not the horse, but I got it straight from guys that ought to know. And I've just seen, at least in print, and I shouldn't say it's confirmation. Well, it is. This says that there is confirmation. I'm going to tell you, and I must have mentioned this on the air. Did I mention it?
I don't remember at all.
Well, we were talking about the... Don't say anything.
Phil, I don't remember the specifics of this, no.
I must have said something. I might have said it on the pre-show feed. I must have said something to the Phil TV and HD subscribers. Anyway, welcome to our world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are online at philhendryshow.com. You can watch the show as well as listen to us. You can watch us, and you can also listen to the podcast and listen to thousands of hours of downloadable shows at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Become a Backstage Pass member. And for the first time in your life, subscribe to something where you get your money's worth. All right. What else? We have a free podcast dropping tomorrow, as we like to say, in showbiz and in the recording industry. It drops tomorrow, episode 44 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast. Go to our website, hit the podcast banner, and enjoy. And it's episode number 44. We're now going to be upping our podcast output to 4 a week. Another program or website note, the Milwaukee Lions will be taking on the San Antonio Range Riders. However, that game is blacked out. Am I right about that, bud?
Yeah, that game's blacked out. We're going to have the game of the week.
Yeah, who is it? It's Portland versus Tucson will be the game of the week with Ned Garline and Larry McKinney. And we're going to have Larry McKinney on with us in a few minutes to talk with us about the league and about the games. And a lot of you guys are probably wondering, what is this Phil Hendry Hillbilly Football Conference? It's a new professional football league that is in some select Phil Hendry cities. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So, a couple of weeks ago, and now you remember, Margaret?
I remember you talking to your neighbor.
A couple of weeks ago, I walk out to the front of my house, and my neighbor across the street is a commercial fisherman. Naturally, if you live close to the swirling, roiling surf of the Pacific, you will encounter a great many people who make their living from the sea. You know, that marvelous down to the sea and ships or whoever the hell that is.
What?
It's some poetry.
All right, well, let's not get sidetracked because you're misquoting it. Down to the sea and ships is a poem. All right.
Okay. I don't want to get into it. I was trying to be poetic.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay, fine, Margaret. In any event, a lot of the people that I live around, some of them are military, some are Navy guys.
They're probably millionaires, too.
Maybe they're millionaires, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's right. I live around millionaire fishermen. Has anybody ever met one of those?
No, what do you mean?
Have you ever met a millionaire? I've met fishermen that live a good life, but I've never met a guy that runs a commercial fishing boat that's a millionaire.
But what about, like, the guy that owns Kiss Tuna or Kiss It Off Tuna?
Yeah, that's Kiss It Off Tuna.
No, it's not. It's Star Kiss Tuna is what they're saying.
Yeah, no. What do you mean? What about him? What? You think that cat has a boat?
Yeah. How else he get in the tuna business?
Well, he...
Maybe he used to sell women's underwear.
Why, you filthy...
Hey, what are you doing?
How dare he say that?
I'm just kidding.
Bud, I'm going to kick your ass out of here. What a filthy thing to say.
Sorry.
Well, that's not good enough. Sorry is not good enough. I am a lady. I'm a lady. Do you see me?
Yeah.
I'm a lady.
Okay.
Oh, so you...
Hey! In any event, it's enough that I got to deal with these idiots. You putting your hands on his throat. One of these days, you're going to strangle him to death, and then we're going to have the cops here.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I'm not going to kill anyone.
All right, anyway, so I'm talking to a friend of mine, and this cat is a fisherman. And he says to me, I say, hey, John, how you doing? You know, you're yelling across the street, whatever. He said, I'm doing pretty good, Phil. I said, so what's up? He said, I'm going out to get a boat. All right, he said, I'm going out to get a...
going out to get a boat. He's probably needs a new boat to catch a fish.
Yeah.
Easy. He said, I'm going out to get a light for the front of my boat. I said, really? He says, yeah. Friend of mine almost ran into a bus the other day. A friend of yours almost ran into a bus. Now, get a load of this. These guys are commercial fishermen. His friend was fishing off of Hawaii.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Tsunami debris.
A bus?
A bus. That's what he was claiming, a bus. Now, today, I see here in the news reporting, USA Today reports that a bin in Hawaii confirmed to be Japan's tsunami debris. Now, the stories that I'm hearing about buses and houses and stuff, first of all, one of the things you know about all rumors from the very beginning of time, all word-of-mouth stories gain in size and significance with the retelling. This is the human trait. It's a human trait for us to embellish, because when we're going to take somebody away from what it is they're doing and we're going to tell them something, we want to make damn sure we're making it worth their while.
So you're saying that people are lying?
No, I'm not saying people lie, but I am saying that people tend to exaggerate. And why do we exaggerate? Because, hey, I got a story for you. Uh-huh. Now we're looking at the guy and we're telling, and we're looking, and are we seeing any, and another thing that happened, this was really big, you know, and the next thing you know, that Goliath, who was the so-called giant that David met, is not just, you know, 6 foot five. Now he's 7 feet tall, and maybe he's 8 feet tall, maybe he's 9 feet tall, you know. And maybe that thing they saw in the ocean that almost wrecked their boat wasn't a rogue wave, as we call them today. Some kind of a rogue wave from an earthquake that created a tidal condition. Maybe it was a sea serpent. I know. It wasn't just a sea serpent. It was something that came up. Man, I tell you, it picked the boat up and it threw it, man. It had two arms.
Yeah, that, you think that's how that stuff got going?
That sounds very plausible.
I mean, I know that's how it got going. That's what, nowadays, of course, we don't believe in sea serpents. Nowadays, we don't believe in sea dragons. So what we do is we embellish stories in a much different way that's contemporary to us. So I don't know whether when John said a friend of his almost ran into a bus, if his friend said a bus or if his friend said something like
a Volkswagen.
Why wouldn't a Volkswagen be good enough? Why is it got to turn into a bus?
Well, yeah, Volkswagen, that's okay, but probably you'll see that.
When are you going to see a Volkswagen?
Well, you probably would see a Volkswagen sometimes.
I don't know, bud. Although there's a lot of weird stuff they find in the ocean. I mean, they're still finding, this is insane. This is completely insane. I don't know what this is, and I wish to God somebody would answer, because it's bugging me now. It's beginning to bug me. They're finding feet. I'm saying severed feet in British Columbia.
I don't understand.
They're finding, believe it or not, either the bones of feet or a foot, a person's foot. And sometimes the foot is in a sneaker and sometimes it isn't. And they have been finding these feet at some point on the British Columbia coast for the last several years. And you can go ahead and Google it if you want. And it has stymied the authorities.
Maybe it's like medical debris or something. Like my mom worked a nurse at a hospital. They had medical debris.
What's that?
It's like stuff, body parts.
No, I think they incinerate those, don't they?
I would hope so. I mean, good Lord, are you kidding?
I don't know.
I mean, what the hell is causing feet, human feet, to wash up on the shore of British Columbia? What is that about, man? Is this a modern-day Morning of the Magicians? You know, when you hear these stories, you begin to believe books like Morning of the Magicians, which was this great book. It was a completely psycho book, and everybody in high school in the 60s read it because it had this, you know, woo, you know, crazy, transcendental, metaphysical thing to it. But this cat that wrote this book, Morning of the Magicians, he basically documented all of the strange occurrences that had been recorded or had been reported down through the years, most of it in Europe, Western Europe and the like. And one of them was this rain of frogs. If you saw the movie Magnolia, remember we saw that movie?
Yeah, you mean that really happened or something?
Yeah, I read about the rain of frogs. They say that that's caused because of the water.
Well, I don't know if it ever happened at all. I mean, in the film Magnolia, there was a frog shower. And that's actually something that was reported in history. And it was in this book, Morning of the Magicians, among other places. There's also been blood a rain of what people thought was blood. Well, now they say it isn't blood. It could be rust-colored water as the result of some condition in the atmosphere. They don't know, you know. There's a great deal of volcanic activity around the globe which can cause the weather conditions to change, and it can also probably discolor rain given the amount of soot and debris in the air. But back if it's the 15th or 14th or the 11th century, all you know is, you know, and there's blood falling from the sky. Prometheus, or whatever the hell they called each other.
What's that mean, Prometheus?
That is Latin. I'm sure in the 11th century, the Roman Empire did not hold sway as it did. Their names then were most likely John the Younger or William of the Leg.
What means William of the Leg?
What's that mean?
Well, the leg, perhaps his father was a cripple, or his father had a misshapen heel. Perhaps his father walked with an exaggerated limp. And so his son, William, would be known as William of the Leg. And
well, the father's known as what?
Well, the father's known as the leg.
The father's known...
Well, I don't know, Phil. Why do you ask?
Yeah, but what bloody... Yeah, his name?
That would become his last name.
That would become eventually the last name of the family. But back then...
Yes, back then what?
Well, what's his name?
His name is the leg.
So there goes the leg, and it's a cat limping down the street. All right.
No, not a cat. Not a cat. No, a man. A human. Not a cat.
I understand. I'm...
Phil's talking about just like a guy.
I understand, bud.
All right, so anyway, there's all that. Now, we've got to take a break, man. But let me get back to the tsunami, because it's a trip and a half, and we'll read this story. The 12th confirmed piece to hit U.S. or Canadian waters. World-famous Phil Henry Show. So my fisherman friend John, man, he got a light for the front of his boat. He's going to be out, I think, through October. I don't know if they get as far afield as Hawaii, some of these guys out. I guess they do. We'll find out. When we come back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Later on, we got Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, on the uprising in Libya. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
We're talking about that.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll get into that in a minute, Margaret. I'll get into that in a minute. I'm not going to get into it right now.
Yeah, get in what?
Don't worry about it, because I don't want to get sidetracked.
All I'm saying is you're an artist, Phil. As an artist, okay, I don't understand a lot of your reactionary opinion.
There's nothing written that says an artist has to have a liberal or progressive opinion. There have been very conservative artists. I don't understand. So just hold that thought. All right, so where are we? We are off of Hawaii. A large plastic bin is the first confirmed piece of marine debris from last year's Japan tsunami to arrive in Hawaii. That's the first confirmed. Now, I just told you that my friend John's fisherman friends and colleagues, I don't know if you call a fisherman, is he a colleague?
Yeah, he'd be a colleague. That's the business.
Yeah, they probably have business meetings and stuff.
Well, why wouldn't he be a colleague? Aren't fishermen allowed to be... Oh, my God.
Yes, they're allowed to be. I mean, I don't think fishermen consider themselves to be colleagues so much as just co-fishermen, you know?
Well, I'm sure they have conventions and sit down and have meetings.
Okay, well, maybe.
Yeah, don't they probably have a seminar?
Probably got like tuna fish seminar thing you got to do.
I don't think they have seminars, but I'm sure they have round tables and multimedia.
What is this all of a sudden multimedia round table? These guys are catching tuna. You know, they're out there catching snapper.
Snapper. Ow.
Watch it, man.
Just absolute filth pours from him.
But I don't know about that one.
All right, so anyway, Japanese consular officials confirmed that the blue bin found earlier this week floating in the ocean is from Fukushima. This is according to Ben Sherman, a NOAA spokesman in Washington, D.C. Forgive me, what does that? National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And Mr. Sherman confirmed that he'd been in touch with Japanese consular officials. They said, yes, that's our bin. I don't know what kind of bin.
But it looked like a trash bin.
Yes, it does. It looks like almost like a Dipsy dumpster.
Yeah, so the Japanese went, yep, that's our trash can. Didn't know it anywhere. Please don't. Ow!
I'm going to keep on doing that, man, until you shut up.
That is extremely racist.
Why? Well, I'm just... Why?
Because, I'm Japanese, so therefore I can identify trash.
God.
No, it wasn't racist. Bud was getting off a joke, and an inappropriate joke, but nonetheless. All right. It is the 12th confirmed piece. 12th confirmed. The largest plastic... is the first confirmed piece of marine debris to arrive in Hawaii. It's the 12th confirmed piece to hit U.S. or Canadian waters. How can this... Oh, this is the first to hit Hawaii.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. The 12th... This nothing has hit Hawaii. That's amazing. The bin was spotted off of a beach off the coast of Oahu by Makai Ocean Engineering and was retrieved by the Hawaii Undersea Research Laboratory. Used for transporting seafood, the 4x4-foot cube bears the name YK Susan Company Limited, the State Department of Land and Natural Resources said. Nikotai Mamenko, a University of Hawaii researcher and ocean currents expert who was studying the trajectory of the tsunami debris, said the bin's arrival is consistent with his predictions for when the first pieces would get to Hawaii. Oh, really? Well, it's...
Oh, look at him.
Yeah. Yep. Happened right when I said. Congratulations, sir. Now, what is my friend John talking about then?
Bobby, he's talking about that the fishermen ain't around Hawaii, but they're near there.
You know, that's a very good point, because this is the first to actually enter Hawaiian water. And I don't know what you call being off of the coast of Hawaii. I guess, you know, within a reasonable limit, say 12 miles, maybe the international limit, something like that. The territorial waters that America, that we claim are three miles, I believe. But nonetheless, or maybe it's changed, but nonetheless, there's debris that it could very well have missed Hawaii and is on its way here to the West Coast. That's what John's friends were hitting.
Yeah, it's probably like the bus and stuff.
Yeah, the bus isn't going to go to Hawaii. I mean, not that a bus is going to, you know.
Well, how is the bus going to make that decision?
I'm not just saying a bus is too big for Hawaii.
Yeah, the waters of Hawaii can't support it.
What are you guys babbling about now?
Oh, my God.
What do you mean the waters of Hawaii can't support it?
What I'm saying is, why would a bus be at Hawaii? It'd probably be too big.
Yeah, it would go by Hawaii.
It would be too big and it would go by Hawaii. All right.
Well, no, not all right. That doesn't make any sense. Once again, these two are slipping into some sort of a... Either it is intentional or it's by mistake, but you are indeed slipping into some kind of a state of brain damage that is either willful or...
Okay, let's not get into it. What were you going to say, bud?
Well, she shouldn't say that.
Well, I said it, okay? So do you want to... Where do you want to go now? I said it. So where do you want to take it?
We're not going to take it anywhere. So it came at the right time, according to our model, he said. But in some sense, it could just be a coincidence. So maybe they consulted with Kate Moss.
Not funny.
No, not funny.
I don't get it.
It was consistent with the predictions of our model. So maybe...
Oh, a model.
Yeah. Anyway, 1 to 2 million tons of debris remain in the ocean, but only 1 to 5% of that could reach American and Canadian shorelines, according to this gentleman there from Hawaii, the University of Hawaii researcher. 1 million to 2 million tons of debris remain in the ocean. Wow.
Woo!
It's a lot of stuff.
Well, I imagine most of it has probably gone to the bottom of the ocean, don't you think?
If it's heavy enough, yeah. A lot of the metals, heavy metal. I mean, how the hell is a bus stay floating? I mean, a bus is a bus. It's a big piece of junk. Yet sooner or later, that's going to have to sink, don't you think? I don't know. Crabs and barnacles were found in the bin, the state said, along with 5 local seabirds. 2 flew away and 3 were found dead inside the bin. There was no foreign plant or animal species in or on the bin, which state officials put into quarantine.
Why'd they do that?
That's so, you know, our native, it's so that our native crops and our native animals are not infected by any kind of a disease being carried by some animal from another continent. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We have Larry McKinney, who's going to talk weekend football with us. And we also have Jay Santos coming up from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Before we get over to Larry McKinney, I just wanted to show to our guys that are watching Phil TV in HD. And do you see that, Margaret?
What is that? That is amazing.
That is a... Look at the size of that boat. Look at the size of that ship. There, we've got a picture on Phil TV. You're looking at that little blue thing there. That is a ship that is probably the size... Well, let's call that a commercial fishing boat. I don't know. It could be a freaking...
Could be like a big oil tanker or something.
I don't think that quite has the look of a big oil tanker. It's like a commercial boat. It's still a good-sized boat, and just surrounding it is all of this crap. All of this stuff from... Now, in December of 2011, the debris began to show up on Canada's beaches. They did not think that a lot of it would land along the Alaska coast, especially when you consider that Alaska has that coastal strip that kind of comes down the Canadian side of things. Most of Alaska is a western-pointing large peninsula, or, you know. But in any event, that was in December 2011. Now, by the month of February this year, there has been debris sighted in Midway, which is Midway Island. That's north of Hawaii. Over the last 12 months, since debris from the 2011 Japanese tsunami broke up, dispersed, and sank, scientists have lost sight of the debris. Immediately after the tsunami, satellite imagery pinpointed large fields of floating debris, but by April 14, 2011, it had dispersed to a point where it was no longer visible with low-resolution cameras. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reports the debris sightings at sea have consistently gone down to a number with a high of approximately 100 sightings to zero in 2011. Well, now you better start recalculating, guys, because they've got freaking bins, docks, buses.
What's that?
Those look like penguins or something, man.
What in the name of God is that?
Those are like, what do you mean, what in the name of God?
Well, what are they?
They're albatross. They're on Midway. This is Midway Island, okay?
That's the that's where the Japanese attacked?
Yeah, well, that was the site of the big battle in World War II. This is Midway Island. Large albatross on Midway in April. They are thriving on Midway, although the situation for the albatross is still rather precarious. And apparently it's gotten precarious because of all this stuff.
Well, I think there'd be more stuff for them to eat.
No, this is absolute pollution. It is absolute pollution. And the albatross, okay, now, you've mentioned animals that are endangered. Now you've got my interest. This is going to kill the beautiful albatross of this island that you mentioned, which is a significant island, right?
You know, Margaret.
What?
All of a sudden you're all interested in albatross, because why?
Because of the pollution. Do you know, Mr. Henry, that we still have a pollution problem?
And who are you blaming for that?
Well, I am blaming the largest polluting country in the world, the United States. And...
Come on, lady, that...
Hold on.
That's nuts!
What are you... Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I am talking to you.
Wait a minute. How do you blame the United States for the Japanese tsunami?
Phil, let's not go there. You know full well that the United States has every capability, more so than any country in the world, to get out there and to clean this sewage up, and we refuse. And meanwhile, the Japanese are drowning in garbage, just drowning in it. Those people get up in the morning, they open their mouths, and I don't know, you're going to laugh at them, but
In comes what?
A house.
Yeah, right, a house going to go in a mouth.
I'm being figurative.
You're being figured. All right, let me get to Larry McKinney from the Phil Henry Hillbilly Football Conference. Larry joining us tonight online to talk with us about the online and on the air to talk with us about the season that's going on right now in the Hillbilly Football Conference. Larry, great to have you with us. We're usually talking to Joe Dickhead or one of those guys, but we're not going to ask you for any football predictions. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very good, Phil, and I want to thank you for allowing me to come on your program tonight and to talk a little bit about the Hillbilly Conference. A lot of exciting football in it.
Now, you're a former quarterback, correct?
Yes, sir. I played in the old AFL 2, and I played with the Milwaukee Lions, which is that's the team that is mostly carried on, I know, on your website.
We do. We carry the Milwaukee Lion games. Do you guys do any local games?
Yeah, we did. My partner is a guy by the name of Ned Garline, and we've done Tampa Gator Bait. We were going to do the Tampa Gator Bait, and then they picked us to do a national game, you know.
So did you do the Tampa Gator Bait games at all?
Well, we did some preseason.
And then they slotted you for the national game, huh?
Yeah, we do one game a week. We do a national game when there's blackout. And it's been a lot of fun. We enjoy it very much. I've seen an awful lot of really good football. And
Who's the two teams that are playing this weekend that you guys are going to be covering? Are those the two best teams in the league right now?
Yeah, I would say that they are. There's three teams right now that seem to have everybody talking, and they're on the West Coast. We're going to be doing a Portland-Tucson game this weekend. Tucson's undefeated. Portland's 2-1. And then the other team would be L.A.
At the Portland, what are the teams named?
It's going to be the Portland Logs against the Tucson Tequila and the L.A. Tan.
The L.A. Tan?
Yeah, that's the name of the team. And there's five teams in each division on the West Coast. So they have San Antonio, I think, is the one, and then Utah is the other one.
And the Eastern Division is, well, I know there's Milwaukee.
Yeah, we've got the Milwaukee Lions, and there's New York. D.C., Tampa, and Miami. But I'll tell you something. The power in this league this year is on the West Coast. I don't know how that happened, but three best teams in the league right now.
So you guys will be doing a game, and we'll have it on our website. All the games are played on Monday. Is that right?
Yeah, the games are played on Monday because that seems to be the, you know, the best time to do it. And you play it on Saturday or Sunday, there's other games, you know.
So there's no competition?
Well, there's nobody else, yeah. Doing that, but this game on Monday is going to be on. It's going to start at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock on the East Coast, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Where's the game?
What?
Where's the game going to be?
The game's going to be in Tucson at Persner Tire Stadium.
Persner Tire Stadium. When I think of Tucson, I think of one of the schools.
Well, no, it's not going to be Arizona State or whatever. I don't know. It's one of them. It's going to be at Persner. This is a football field, and it's a tire company like that.
All right. Well, Larry, thank you very much. And who is your broadcast partner?
My broadcast partner is Ned Garline, and Ned has a long and extensive career as a football commentator, play-by-play, and he called Orlando Redneck games back in the day, and so he's a good one.
The Orlando Rednecks, where'd they play?
They played in the AFL 2 and the PFL and the DFL. And
what are those? Those are all professional leagues, huh?
Yeah, they are. And
what does that stand for? DFL?
I don't know. I know that there was a DFL and a PFL, but I can't tell you what it stands for. I know it stands for something football league.
Well, that goes without saying. Margaret?
Yes, hi, Larry, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to ask you a question. The quarterbacks and the tight ends and all of these names, is this derivative of football or are these jokes? What does that mean?
No, ma'am, it's not a joke. It's, why do you say that?
Well, I've always wondered about the percentage of gay players, and when you say tight end, it sounds like an inside joke.
No, ma'am, that's a real position. I'd say the tight end because he doesn't play wide out. You know, he's not wide. He don't open it up.
Well, see, that doesn't much...
What?
Well, that doesn't make me feel any better.
Well, what do you think?
Wide open? The question that I'm at...
Well, ma'am, it got nothing to do with anal.
Okay, thank you very much, Larry.
Well, can I give my website where my wife and I are selling a stove?
I don't know why you got to take it there.
You just hung up on that man.
Did I really? Yes, I did. Because I don't want to hear his wife and he are selling a stove.
Yeah, I told him he could... He thought we were doing a garage sale, too.
No, we're not doing any garage sale. Are you out of your mind or something? We're not doing a garage sale.
Well, I think that would be very charming, though.
Oh, would it be? No, we're not doing a garage sale. Can you imagine that? How pathetic is that going to get?
Well, man, I mean, you got to try something.
Try what? A garage sale? Hey, hi, everybody. It's Phil Hendry. And let's see. Call us up with the stuff that you've got that we can sell. Hey, here's something. A grandfather clock.
Well, I mean, don't you think it'd be interesting?
No, I don't. In fact, if I ever had to do a garage sale, that would be the day that I would commit suicide on the air.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious, Mr. Henry?
I'm dead serious.
You'll be dead, ma'am.
Yeah, and dead. I'd be dead serious and dead.
Do you understand what you're saying?
I totally understand what I'm saying.
And you're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I want you to be very... listen to me, and listen carefully. If I ever, in my career, sink to the level of doing a garage... For a serious garage... if I did it for laughs...
Well, that's what I'm talking about, Phil. As a joke.
No. If as a joke, it's a five-minute bit, maybe. But if I ever did a garage sale...
What about for charity?
All right, you guys are throwing in all this bullcrap. I'm not talking about anything that has to do with charity or doing it as a gag. I'm saying if I ever had to host a garage sale on the air anywhere because I needed the work, I'd blow my brains out on the air.
That's just wrong to do.
Why would you threaten something like that?
I'll tell you why I'd threaten something like that, so nobody will ever hire me to do a garage sale. See? There's a method to my madness.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, see, Robert gets it.
Well, Phil, what if you needed the money?
If I need the money that bad, man, I'll go into construction work. I'll become a dishwasher. I will sell bottles. I'll sell blood. I'll do any... I won't host a garage sale. I'll blow my brains out on the air. If I ever have to go into a studio, I'll just tell them. I probably ought to give them the warning first. Hi, before I go on the air, I want to let all you people know, newsman, engineer, I'm going to blow my brains out here in about 3 minutes, so you might want to just split.
Got a minute? I'd hang around just look at it.
Yeah, you would, man.
I would not. I'd call the police and try to have an interdiction.
A what?
An interdiction.
Interdiction? It's all porn and everything.
It's not.
Come on.
That is not porn.
You'd try to save me, and I appreciate that, Margaret, but there would be no saving me. I'd blow my brains out.
Hey, way to go, Mr. Henry. Way to stick to your guns. Or gun. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, have you seen enough of the albatross there on Midway Island? I had that shot up throughout the entire segment on Phil TV. Thank you, Larry McKinney. Next hour, Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know what that said.
What we have here and what we're going to show you here for our viewers on Phil TV is a satellite picture here of what is called, and thank you, Dan, for alerting me to this, man. This is what is called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which is the debris. Now, before I show you the satellite shot, look at this shot. Tsunami debris floating fast toward Hawaii. This is as of October 2011. All right, and here we have what looks like what is that?
That looks like an airplane.
Yeah, it does. It looks like an aircraft.
Well, I don't know, man. But there's the house. There's a roof of a house. Now here is and if you can make that out, folks, this is the actual satellite shot, and I've isolated it. And you'll see over here, and again, you guys are just listening on the radio, I'll give you the words I view. On the far eastern side of the globe, obviously, is Japan, and on the western side is the United States, and there is our beautiful blue Pacific in the middle. Now, starting in Japan and emanating out in waves of red like tentacles from a jellyfish are these various currents of garbage that stay pretty much in the northern Pacific. They begin to drift southward somewhere across that median, which is our international date line that we all know from our school days. They begin to drift a little southward. And as they reach the west coast, some of these tentacles begin to drift a little northward up into the Canadian coastal areas. The brunt of this, though, looks as if that which makes contact with California, with the west coast, looks as if it's up around Oregon and Washington, but as it reaches California, I don't know, Dan, if you can see this, it starts to push south.
That's probably like a current or something.
That might be the actual ocean currents.
Yeah, it, in other words, it seems to avoid California and areas south like Baja and is pushed to the south. This is why these are represented, this red network of tentacles, like these jellyfish tentacles I was mentioning, suddenly become yellow and go south and begin curving back toward the west. And much, much further south, too. They look like they're as southerly as the Fiji Island or the Tahitian Islands, Fiji, and so forth, traveling just north of Australia. Very strange.
That's why that guy's studying in Hawaii and everything.
There, the scientists that we read about studying in Hawaii, the debris field and how it drifts, it's wild. And the reason why we got started on this is this story that this is the first piece of debris that has entered Hawaiian waters. There have been 12 instances of 12 pieces of debris to hit the U.S. or Canada, confirmed pieces of debris from Japan, and this is the first to hit Hawaii, this bin, a seafood bin. But these satellite pictures show an enormous wave of garbage, and that's something you can't keep from happening.
Well, why are you smiling? You know.
Well, Margaret, I'm smiling because you are an environmentalist, self-described, and you immediately wanted to blame the United States.
I am blaming the United States for not doing more to intercept this debris and to somehow save those birds on Midway Island. This is a battle that's being fought for years, Phil. The Midway albatross, you know, I wish I could explain.
Wait. Hold on.
You didn't know that albatross existed.
Excuse me, what did you say? Existed? I don't know that word, existed.
You didn't know they did. You didn't know they exist.
Robert's saying you didn't even know the albatross existed until I told you about it.
I beg your pardon. I knew that we had an environmental problem.
Yeah, you didn't know about albatross.
What? You know, Phil, if you want me on your show, could I talk to people that are not struggling with some sort of a malformed tongue? Or
I'm a malformed tongue. You got a malformed ear and a malformed brain. If you don't understand that an albatross, that you didn't know anything about it until Mr. Henry talked about it just now.
It's true. You didn't know a thing about it. Now all of a sudden you're yapping about the albatross on Midway, and oh my goodness, what a tragedy. And oh, you know.
Could you please put the there you go. You had the television camera on this ridiculous-looking picture.
I'll do what I need to do, okay?
Oh, okay, Jack.
Oh, is that Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, Jack Nicholson and Hoffa. I'm gonna do what I gotta do, get Union back. The most gloid delivered line in cinema history. And
all right, we can stop with the Gloyd delivered line.
What's she talking about?
She's talking about we were watching Hoffa the other night with Jack Nicholson, and he goes, "I'm going to do what I got to do, get the union back."
He butchered it up.
Yes, he butchered it up, just the same way Phil does every night.
I didn't butcher anything up. What I said, and you can change the subject all you want. I said, I showed a picture to my audience of the albatross on Midway Island. These animals may be negatively impacted by this debris that is coming from the tsunami. I didn't blame anybody. I didn't blame Japan. I could easily have blamed Japan.
How in my... Oh, my God. How do you blame those poor people in Japan?
I got it. Here, Margaret, why don't I be as silly as you? Why don't I say the Japanese should have nailed their houses down better?
Yeah, should have. Exactly. Exactly. Or they should have had a better, they should have tied the boats up better.
Oh, right. They're going to tie their boats up better. And oh, my. Woo! Oh.
Well, what's...
That is... How are you... Do you understand, Bud? You could tie that boat up as if Superman tied that knot. The boat is going to be destroyed.
Yeah, well, if Superman tied a knot, though, the boat may go, but it would take the dock.
All right, so it takes the dock. So then what?
Well...
Oh, you know, this is an asinine conversation. You're proving my point. Tie the boats down better, tie the houses down. Of course they're not going to be able to do that. I'm not blaming them, but that's what you would do. That's what you would say. You would say that America is to blame for the debris because America didn't nail its houses down better. We didn't build our houses better, you know.
Well, Phil, America is the number one country in the world. I don't know whether you know that or not. I don't know if you read the newspapers. We are the number one nation in the world.
Okay.
So don't you think we should know a little more about keeping the albatross from, I don't know what you call it, but...
Yeah, exactly how are the albatross being threatened, Margaret? You don't even know. You just heard me say albatross are threatened, and you started jumping all over it and humping it.
Are you trying to tell me that I was hip-thrusting the albatross issue like a slut?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Good night.
Oh, come on back, Margaret.
Good night.
Come on! We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Jay Sano's coming up.
So I'm dry humping the albatross issue.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. You said I'm dry humping.